Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's a very impromptu dork expedition here in Denver, Colorado. I am in the Comedy Works condo, which is glorious. It's glorious. I was told it was going to be, I was told it was the best condo in the business. And I said, why don't you raise the bar? And they said, no, you'll like it. And guess what? It's an apartment I would live in. So they are correct. And it is sparkling clean, which I also enjoy. Let's tell you what just happened. Mike Rickberg composed and sang the intro that you just heard. He sang with his wife, Sarah Cohen. He will sing his words to the Mexican hat dance at the end of the program. Vilmos fixes my website, JackieCation.com. And Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio. Though David Germain is lending me his equipment, here in Denver so that I can get an episode out because of, it's sad times. And so I'm getting over it. Anyway, so here's the scoop, folks. Let's do, we've done the credits. Let's tell you that this week I am opening for Maria Bamford. She's taping her new Netflix special in Los Angeles. So if you're in Los Angeles, I have a bunch of LA shows. And then I think we're going to Houston. Who knows? Check JackieCation.com for my schedule. You can also buy merch on JackieCation.com. You can watch me do stand-up on videos. You can see the full schedule there. There's also a donation button. Don't use it. Don't use it. It's November. It's November and December. I always ask that you do not donate to the Dork Forest. Instead, you find a local food bank and give them the money that you were going to give me. $5, $20, $100. Google the word food bank and the name of your town, and then you will be revealed a food bank. There's also a thing called feedingamerica.org. Other than that, what the hell? Donate to ACLU. Anyway, so in other news, you can still support the show by using the Amazon banner on JackieCation.com. All that is a portal. It's just a little link, tiny link, of Amazon under the support the show tab or just on the main page. And it just brings you to Amazon. You order like normal. It doesn't cost you extra. The Dork Forest gets a little bit of a kickback. So you can do that to support the show. And other than that, I think we're good. I think I have done all the things that I needed to do. Probably not. Oh, there's premium episodes over Bandcamp if you want other live episodes. They're $2 a pop. There'll always be a free one every Tuesday unless I take a vacation, which I'm thinking of doing in December. Anyway, who knows? But for the love of God, let's get into the program because I think we're at a minute. David Germain, you're in your own city.
Yes. Hello. How are you doing?
David Germain, what is the name of your podcast?
The Disjointed Podcast.
The Disjointed Podcast, and it's at Disjointed Films on Twitter.
Yes.
And we just recorded an episode.
And it was awesome and
it was
amazing.
Because you talk about the creative process and going from day job to no day job.
And we actually managed this week I stayed on topic instead of talking about everything else other than that.
I think the first 15 minutes we talked video games.
Yes.
Well, you which know is what? Fine.
Because I wanted to have a really awesome, honest conversation. But I also know that probably you don't start off with a conversation like, all right, tell me everything, you know.
Exactly.
Like, so then I'm like, hey, you know what? Because I know like big video games and stuff, and I really wanted to talk about video games anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's do that. So,
are you playing any video games now? Are you
currently getting shot in the face 24/7 playing Destiny.
Destiny.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
what's your console of choice?
That would be PS4.
A PS4? You went and got it.
Yeah, you know what? This is the I took a break from video games. It's like, you know, somebody's like, I'm never going to drink again. And that was the better thing to say is I'm not going to drink today and I'm not going to drink tomorrow. I'm going to try not to drink
one
tomorrow.
One day at a time with the video
game?
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, I'm not going to, I sold my 360, right?
Okay.
Because the new consoles are coming out. And then I'd see this video, like of the new Metal Gear and all this other stuff. And I'm like,
you like first person shooters?
Not really. Anything that has a really good story is really what I like.
Okay.
So
yeah.
The Arkham series was absolutely phenomenal.
That looked amazing, quite honestly. We had it. I never played it because I knew that it would be a rabbit hole that I would never come back from.
Oh, yeah. It's, it kind of got to me where I was like, all right, I need to let this go because, you know, like I turn 41 next month. And I was like, you know what? When I'm in my 50s, I don't know how important it is that I got every Riddler trophy in Arkham City. So like,
take your triumphs where you can, man.
Yeah. My sweetie loves me now, but you know what I mean? Like things change. So it's kind of like, wait, remember back when I got all that? Where are you going? Where you
know? I'm still talking.
Yeah. Oh, damn it.
The third Riddler one was really cool looking.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, anyway.
So, no, I let it go, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to focus on comedy. I'm going to focus on the podcast stuff, man. I'm going to be me.
Okay.
I'm going to go, you know. And then
you're going to look away from the screen.
Yes. And then freaking Star Wars Battlefront came out, and I'm like, God damn, my love for George Lucas. And
I heard that was pretty good, actually.
It was pretty cool as far as there wasn't an actual story, which is basically just death matches and shit like that.
Okay.
So,
versus? It was a versus game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for the most part.
I actually love a button mashing versus.
Oh, really?
I'm an old school Mortal Kombat fan.
Oh.
I like the 5-button configuration on an upright.
There is a dark side to you.
There is a dark side. Finish him!
Yeah.
And,
The only thing that was more embarrassing was like Killer Instinct, because if you like nail an ultra combo, right, you can like go across the street, get a soda, come back, and the guy's still like reeling from all this.
I'll tell you, I tried to play it because I thought it was funny, Killer Instinct, 6-button configuration. Yeah. It always screwed me over.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I like with Street Fighter II, Chun-Li was the only one, only character I was fairly good at.
Right, right.
You know, which of course all my nerdy guys are like, you're gonna play Chun-Li, man? Is that it? You gonna be a chick, bro? And I'm like, first of all, why are you talking that way? We're all a bunch of dorks.
None of us actually talk like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do an impression of my husband, and it's changed over the last year and a half. And he said, yeah, I sound a lot more masculine now. Nice work.
Nice.
And I said, it's because my voice has gotten a little scratchier the last year. I have no idea why. So when I do your voice, I just let the scratch out.
Yeah, there you go. I decided it was for my birthday, and I'm like, you know what?
You treat yourself? Is that what you said?
I treated myself is what I was doing. I'm like, yeah, I walked into GameStop, and I'm like, treat myself. I'm like, get out. So I had to go to another store. And I picked up the Battlefront bundle.
Okay.
And so I'm like, okay, because I mean, I had a PS2, but I left that for the 360, and I was all about Xbox for the longest time.
Right.
And, you know, and I loved all the games, like Gears of War. Like, shooters are great, but it's the great stories that I dig. Like, Gears of War.
What is the story of Gears of War?
So, it's a different planet than this one, right? And, there's this, apparently, there was wars on there before between, like, colonists and stuff like that, right? And there was all these monsters, or the oil, or instead of oil, it's a thing called emulsion, right?
Okay.
And so there's like a fight over for that, but what they didn't know was that underneath the surface, there was all this other race of beings and all these monsters and stuff that they were encroaching on. So on this thing called Immersion Day, which is basically all these holes in the earth opened up and all these monsters came out and wiped out just about everything. And so it's basically about the survivor. Like, humanity is always losing in every single one of these games.
Okay.
So it's really about, I mean, aside from like, man, it's got a chainsaw and a gun. Like, seriously, that game practically made itself. Like, it's amazing.
You ever play Burn Zombie Burn?
No.
It was a Steam game, I think. It was a side scroller to some extent, and it was endless. And your thumbs, you die because you ran out of thumbs. Ran out of your cramp up.
Yeah.
And there would just be, but you could switch between like a flamethrower and a chainsaw and a shotgun and all these different weapons. And you're like, it was a top down view of you shooting zombies forever. It was pretty great. Yeah.
I can't. I choose not to play zombie games.
Yep.
Because my sweetie Jenny. She's deathly afraid of zombies.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so like apparently walking around the house going,
don't do it.
Yeah,
that's
gonna get a shoe chucked right on my forehead.
Exactly. So don't do it.
Yeah. So like The Walking Dead, I'm completely ignorant about that entire series.
Oh, I never. I read the comics. I read the first two trades, and then I was like, oh, I get it. There's still gonna be zombies. Because my whole thing with zombies, and I do. You can have great stories. Like, I saw Shaun of the Dead, which I thought was a fascinating.
Really? I love Edgar Wright stuff, man. That guy is amazing.
Yeah, it was an interesting examination. And then I saw I see a lot of zombie stuff, but there's so much of it, you know, I've seen different. And, but The Walking Dead, there's only a couple of ways you can go with the story, right? In zombie world, right? Okay. You can either, the zombies either win and everybody dies, and then they die because they're out of food.
Right.
Or you find a cure for zombieism.
Right.
That is it. And then, so you have to have compelling, interpersonal stories. It's just a soap opera with zombies, essentially, right? Which is what I guess The Walking Dead has turned into, and they're doing a great job with it because people are on board, or the first couple of seasons.
Oh, yeah. I think, well, I have hipster cable, which is basically Netflix and Hulu.
My brother's HBO Go, and then I have my other brother's Audible account.
Yeah, I rarely pay for anything, guys. So the,
I have my own Netflix, you guys, and I have my own Amazon Prime.
So, like, they're like Game of Thrones. The only reason I've watched even half of the first season now is because, they were on sale at Target. So.
Oh, you got DVDs.
Yeah. Or the Blu-rays. I actually, I don't want to brag here, guys.
You have PS4.
Yeah, exactly. That's
our PS3 has been our Blu-ray player for the last, 12 years.
Oh, wow.
It still works.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, good job, Sonny.
Yeah.
But it was weird. I had a weird curiosity for watching Game of Thrones. Like, one, I love, Lord of the Rings and all that other stuff, right?
Great sword and sorcery stuff. I love that.
Yeah, I love that. And they're like, it's really dark. I'm like, darker than Battlestar Galactica? Because that's pretty
dark. That
was
terrifying. Battlestar Galactica was terrifying. I could not do it.
I love that series.
Yeah, just because, super much tension.
Oh, dude. Like, especially, season four. Like, I'm in a mess of tears at the end of every episode asking myself the question, why the hell do I keep watching this show? This is, why am I doing this to myself? But, it was, I don't know. I thought it was brilliant. I'm going to sound like such a schmo.
A dork?
Yeah, I was going
to say. Possibly Welcome to the Dork Forest, the safest space on the internet.
I was going
to
say douche, but all right. before I got into comedy years and years ago, I studied acting, right?
Right.
And the acting on these shows.
I supposed to be impressed by that?
Not at all. Why I didn't want to say it.
At college, or was that what you studied at school?
Oh, it wasn't it was a conservatory in New York. That's why I went there.
Oh, that's neat.
I didn't do anything with it, but
you build character.
Yeah, that's
why
what
not?
I did. Watching really good solid acting, where, the point where I stop watching for every beat and every breath and everything that they're doing. And I'm
okay.
Just enjoying it.
Oh, right. Cause you saw behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I see what they're doing.
Yeah. But then I go back in again and I see all these different layers of all this stuff. And I'm like, man, this is brilliant. I had not seen acting that on a show for a long time.
Game of Thrones has that, you say?
Oh, Battlestar.
That's Battlestar.
Going back
there you
years
go.
Before
okay.
Game of Thrones and stuff. And yeah. So that, to me, that kind of started where when they start doing these streaming, well, not streaming shows, these like Walking Dead, anything that's on Netflix and stuff, you get to see these bigger arcs of all the characters.
Oh, right,
and
of
stuff.
The original programming.
Yeah, like
okay.
You mentioned it in the Lady Dynamite, Maria Bamford show, which
right.
was great. I mean, it's weird that the first 2 minutes or just of that first episode, you're like, wow, this is really manic and all over the place and stuff. But then when you start when you watch the whole series, or at least when I did, now I could see the beginning. I could see how everything's sporadic and all this stuff. And it was really powerful, I thought.
Yeah, I think that those Netflix series and Amazon series and I guess YouTube has series now. And everyone's doing – and you can just release them all at once, which means that you can tell a whole story and you don't get notes from network is what I'm told. Mm-hmm. That's supposed to be the super fun thing about it. Because
we noticed that it was getting a little dark. Can we lighten it up?
Exactly. You're like, die's cast. Everything's going out.
I hate to tell you this. The story, you mean the one where everybody's dead and there's only three people alive? You want me to lighten that story up is what you're saying.
Yeah, that story's never not going to get any lighter. So yeah. We're going to just suck it up. See if anybody likes it. And yeah, and they can't throw ratings at you because it hasn't all gone up yet. Mm-hmm. So
It doesn't
like, I'm
solely on advertising.
Did you watch The High Tower? Man in the High Castle?
No, I haven't yet. I have
too dark for me as well.
Really?
You know what I'm currently slightly obsessed with is Supergirl.
That was way better than I thought it was going to be. I thought
me too. I didn't watch. I'm only watching the first season on Netflix right now, and I'm on episode 11, and she's a Girl Scout. It's great. She's just a superhero. She's everything that the movies are not.
Yeah.
It's just a...
Well, this is one of the things that I really dug. So I'm going to try not to bring up Battlestar all the time, but...
You can. You want to just talk about Battlestar?
No. I was as far as female characters on shows. And one of the things that like all the women in my family, especially on my mom's side, are these ultra badasses, and they're very, very, like, I'm really glad that the UFC wasn't around when my mom was in her 20s. She would have gone for it, and she would have, like,
Is she an athlete?
No. Okay. She's just violent.
Interesting. Interesting life choice.
Yeah, the reason why she came to this country was because she almost killed her boss, or she tried to kill her boss with a pair of scissors.
From where?
Mexico, Torreón, Coahuila.
Okay.
Her boss, she worked at a department store, and this had to have been, like late 50s or something.
Okay.
And there was one of the coworkers and stuff. She's eating an ice cream. She's on a break, and the guy's like, hey, get back to work. And she's like, oh, in a second. And he slapped the ice cream out of her hand. He said, I said, get back to work. My mom's like, don't you do that to her. And he's like, what? Whack. Yes. Unfortunately, he didn't know that she's got that she grew up in a house of four brothers. And like her and my uncle Anko, they're the two alphas out of that whole entire family.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows how to fight. So she kind of like, excuse me, what just say to me? That's what? And so she just calmly reaches over the counter, grabs a pair of scissors, and he just saw the look in her eye, and he ran. He ran up to and she just started chasing him, and all her friends and stuff were holding her back. So either way, she couldn't find any more, like nobody would hire her.
Like, right, because she stood up for herself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's the kind of example that I had growing up, right? So when I'd see like
she wasn't violent when you were a child, was she?
No, she was. There's bits and there's peaks and valleys. Right. So, the whole thing was that's the idea that I had for like strong women in my mind, right? And so when I'd see these movies where like if there was a fight scene that looks so unbelievable, like you could tell, not that I'm asking for super realism in a fight in a kung fu film, but you could tell that there's not.
Well, Jackie Chan, that's realistic and pretty awesome.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, as far as like, here's an example. BSG versus Stargate. What was the last one? The one on the spaceship, the one with,
I never watched SG1. Stargate. My brother Phil has promised to come on to the Dork Forest to speak only of Stargate.
Yes.
For he loves the Stargate universe.
Okay, so one of the characters, like this female, the Marine, right, who was always wearing a very tight shirt and very busty, and she's always wearing makeup.
Okay.
You would never see that in BSG. Like all.
Oh, interesting.
So
you were looking for realism.
Yes, I was, and I'm like, this is a show on a spaceship. Why the hell am I looking for realism? What is wrong with me? What am I doing with my life? But no, I mean, Battlestar really like characters like Laura Roslin and like the president and stuff like that. They showed.
It was more of a matte finish than a glossy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, because it just kind of tones it down. Because then it looks more realistic. It looks like. Because it's not quite as shiny.
Yeah.
And they're not this beautiful fighting machine. Yeah, Supergirl has, she has makeup. I mean.
Well, no, not that. But the thing is, what's awesome about that is when she like rages out and does this, like she's like in the fight.
Yeah.
That comes off as like, okay, now I believe that she wants to destroy this person or beat this person to the ground. I'm like. I love seeing that side. Not that,
She's a great actress, actually.
Oh yeah. She's out here, I think.
Oh, she a Colorado kid?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the casting on this thing is pretty exceptional. I was very good. Calista Flockhart as her boss is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The writing's great. I'm on board with
Wait
Supergirl.
Wait till you get to season two and you see how they do Superman.
I heard that they'd Big Blue Boy Scout is what I heard, and it's great.
Yeah. That's great for TV.
It's perfect. Yeah. Is what I've been told. I'm looking forward to it. But it's not on Netflix yet. Maybe it's probably on Hulu Plus. I have my sister's Hulu Plus.
I watch, actually, so, you know what? I just go to the CW website. I have to deal with commercials, but.
We don't have cable.
Oh, no, internet.
And, you don't have to log in with any sort of anything?
Nope.
Oh, there you go.
Nope.
Well, that's kind of exciting.
That's how I've been keeping up because since they took it off of Hulu, all the CW shows.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, so you can't watch them on Hulu now.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so the only thing Hulu's good for me now is Rick and Morty and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
But, that's basically how I've been keeping up. And they've been doing pretty good. Like, the CW has really nailed the episode. Like, Flash is awesome. It's superheroes doing superhero stuff. And
I haven't gotten into Flash yet. I've been watching some Luke Cage. And
What do you think of Luke Cage so far?
I've only seen, I think, six episodes. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's comic booky, which I enjoy because it gets silly sometimes and it's, and I appreciate that. And it's also because it's not as dark as Daredevil.
Yeah, Daredevil was pretty, well, because Daredevil is just a conflicted, dark character, I think.
Right, but I read Daredevil, okay. and he's never happy. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why would you bring that to a television show? But fair enough. I mean, you're doing an excellent job. And D'Onofrio was amazing. I've only watched the first season of Daredevil.
Oh, the way they do the Punisher is spot
I'm sure. The Ghost Rider on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is amazing.
Awesome as well. Yep. Like, they got it, man. And they kind of throw a little hint of Johnny Blaze or Danny Ketch, possibly. So, like, at one point, like, a leather jacket, and there's some folks that are in a basement, and you see all the circus posters and stuff up. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're like, ooh, mm-hmm. Does that mean we're going to get a Nicolas Cage doing a cameo?
Hopefully not.
I'm going to root for him because I always like, come on, man, I know you got it.
Oh, yeah? You're a big Nicolas Cage fan? You like?
No, but I like to see people do well, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that, like, the Ghost Rider movie, I decided to give it another shot because it was on Hulu, and I'm like, all right, I know I really didn't like the second one, but...
There were two Ghost Rider movies?
Yeah.
I am unfamiliar with the Ghost Rider movies.
Man,
I'm unfamiliar with the Ghost Rider character. Andy, one of the pumpkins he made this year for Halloween was a Ghost Rider pumpkin.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty great. But okay, so the two Ghost Rider movies?
Yes.
What? And is Nicolas Cage in them?
Yep.
Okay.
So the idea was...
Does he play the Ghost Rider?
Yeah, he's...
Okay.
He's more of a ghost protector. Oh, sorry. That was a lame... All right. So the idea of,
I wouldn't know a Nicolas Cage impression if it hit me in the head.
Okay,
if Nicolas Cage showed up, I would not know.
Yeah.
I can't actually picture him, so I think he's
tall.
What
happened to you that you blocked out Nicolas Cage out of your brain?
I don't know. I think ever since Racing with the Moon, which was a movie that he did with Sean Penn in 87.
Well, you just wrote that dude off and you're like, fuck this guy.
I'm like, I get it. All right.
Sorry, I'm trying not to swear.
You can swear. Fucking
oh, okay.
Go ahead.
All right.
Who cares?
Cool, cool. What was kind of, what they were trying to do with, like, it's pretty weird because this is before Netflix. This is before a lot of successful,
superhero. Right?
Yeah,
wasn't
the
it?
90s and stuff. So it's basically like every, like, even the Ben Affleck Daredevil, they always try to have elements of The Crow in every one of these movies and stuff, right?
Oh, right. Cause The Crow was so powerful for people.
It was for me.
Yeah.
I was like, cause I was all angsty at that time and
sure.
I was like, oh, yeah. But the, it's so tragic. Well, it was because I had somebody that passed away really close to me. So I was, that movie really spoke to me. And I'm like, I wish I could dress up as a clown and do karate, you know? But.
I'm sorry if someone died, but what, how did that affect your. What
because
is it? I saw The Crow, but I remember not enjoying it.
Oh, okay.
So, but that's not because of anything that. The Kung Fu. I liked the Kung Fu.
Right.
But I didn't get it. It was before I had read any comic books. I had only read Spider-Man.
Right.
And mostly team-ups.
Right.
So.
And The Crow, the comic book, or the graphic novel was pretty dark anyways. It was more poetry with a lot of violence in it than anything.
Okay.
So, I think what it was, this is what I was feeling at the time because it's my dad passed away. He got sick and by the time I was like a freshman in high school, right?
Okay.
And, to me, every time it pissed me off so much because I was going through so much stuff and so much loss. And anybody who had parents, I held a resentment towards. I had a resentment towards anybody that was happy about anything.
Oh my God.
So, like, I was, yeah, like, there's a well adjusted people.
No, that's, it's 14. It's 15.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. So.
You gotta process it however you process
it.
But
apparently
okay.
Apparently mine was when I saw The Crow and stuff and it's like, seeing the pain, like, that Eric Draven, that character was going through because he lost his, everything was most violently taken away from him, his love and stuff. And so that really, really struck a chord. So I guess that for me, I'm like, oh, that movie's so great. Even though.
And how he dealt with it is he was a ninja.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
See, no, even worse. He was like, I'm going to play The Cure. All right. I'm going to put some makeup on. And guess what? I can't die. So guess who's going to get their ass kicked to The Cure? Yeah, you know.
Gas kick to The Cure. Yes, please.
Yes. Like, listen, if you were a bro-y dude in the 80s or 90s, what's the most horrific way to get your ass kicked?
Oh, my God. They're going to take you out.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to start. I'm going to put on Smells
Yay.
Like Heaven or something like that. Or was it Seems Like Heaven? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to put on Disintegration and then just start going in. Which they did that in Ant-Man, which I thought was also hilarious. Which
oh, did they?
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to disintegrate you, and it just so happens the
oh,
phone
that's
picks
right.
up. Yeah,
that's
playing.
Why Andy laughed.
Yes.
All musical references almost always flow over me like water. Because I know them,
okay.
but I don't know them.
Okay.
So, but I love, of course, music. And so The Crow led you to Ghost Rider?
No,
or it
no,
came
okay.
out of, because Crow was so popular. Yeah. Everything tried to copy it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like there was that awesome moment where, okay, and the Crow, where T-Bird, the guy, his whole thing is he loved his car, right? And so he ties him to the, rides him to the car, and he basically is going to have this thing explode as it flies into the river, right?
Okay.
So as he's doing this, and this guy's like, you can't come back, man. You can't. And he's like, you can't believe what's about to happen. And he's just pouring all of this, this lighter fluid on the ground, right? As this thing explodes and he drops his, T-Bird's lighter.
Of course.
And it does the whole flame, and then the Crow lands and everything. And suddenly, I don't know. It was okay. As an adult, it seems kind of,
but it's awesome. But, that sounds awesome. Yeah. There sounds nothing wrong with any of that.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Now I want to see the Crow again.
Yeah, exactly. Just get yourself in a good place and just realize
it. And then just cure it up.
Yeah. This integration is still one of the baddest albums ever. So.
All right. That's fantastic. So Ghost Rider.
So Ghost Rider, all these movies wanted to keep pieces of that because that was the cool thing that seemed to resonate, I think, with the fans of that movie. So I think they were just like, all right, just keep doing the same thing over and over again or take a piece of whatever the Tim Burton.
Yeah, they always do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it didn't quite.
But Ghost Rider, what I know about him is that he has a motorcycle, but right. In Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. he has a car.
Yeah, it's a different Ghost Rider.
Yeah, and then does the original Ghost Rider that Nicolas Cage played, did he make a devil deal
yes.
as well?
Same thing. So basically, and by the way, if I screw this up,
yell at your iPod, live it up, folks.
Exactly. Go ahead. You just go on the internet and complain about it, guys.
That's okay. You can email me,
yeah,
jackie@jackiecation.com.
His dad was worked at, you know, for the circus, was, you know, stuntman or whatever.
Oh, interesting.
And he was dying of cancer, mm-hmm. and so he wanted to save his dad. The devil comes up, is like, I could save your father and cure his cancer, you know, but you have to, you know, sell your soul to it. So he
right.
does it, but then his dad dies like the next day in a motorcycle accident, even after his cancer is cured.
Oh, but because the devil is always tricksy like that.
I can't believe that he would do something like that. That was really like, I should have read
happen?
The fine print. I should have put in there, or dies from motorcycle. Seeing as what he does for a living is
he's
jump over dangerous shit.
For at least another 20 years, and he can't be paralyzed while he does it.
He can't go all crazy conservative as soon as I get married or whatever.
Or he can't have to be locked up, or he has to have a good life for there's not enough codicils that you can do with the devil. They're going to get you. They're going to get you.
Yeah, you got the writers, man. And also, like, no buses, billboards, or, you know, mm-hmm. so.
Green M&Ms.
Yes. So, yeah, so now what it was, he's supposed to be, you know, like the devil's hitman for the most part.
Oh.
But he breaks away, because the spirit of vengeance is that any time there's been a murder, any type of spirit of vengeance, the Ghost Rider takes over and will go and kill that person.
Who murdered?
Yes. So now the Ghost Rider, the actual human alter ego, has to live with all these people that he's murdering that he doesn't want to.
Okay.
So, like, he is a hero, but at the same time, it's like... He's
tortured.
He is he's really tortured. So yeah. They try to play more of that up in the second movie, but it's... I get the feeling of like, all right...
Is Ghost Rider 1 the origin story, essentially?
Yes.
And then Ghost Rider 2 is just...
Like the continuation.
He's on task.
Yeah, he's on task,
okay.
But now he's really dealing with the fact he doesn't want to kill anybody. But he keeps, you know, it's gotta happen. He's,
right.
You know, there's a flaming skull in him. That happens. It's kind of strange. I always got the feeling where they're like, all right, so we're gonna work on the scene where you're gonna really try not to kill this guy. It's gonna be very difficult. All right, ready to go. I want to do it in one take. Okay. So I guess the one that we're doing is, all right, well, it's in the can. Let's keep on going.
That wasn't that great. I guess we're going to keep going.
Yeah. Well, like, we've got 3 cans of film and that's pretty much
it. So did you just rewatch both of them or just the second one?
Just the first one.
The first one.
And what I've been trying to do lately, and I ever since, like, comedy, painting, whatever, anything creative that I've done, is that I really try to find the best stuff of what they were trying to do. And not to crap all over everything.
Oh, to find someone that, like an artist that you like and mm-hmm. watch their stuff and try to like what they've done.
Or just to see, even let's say if I don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, okay, well, what were they going for? Let's see what, you know,
a little analytical.
Yeah. Well, I you know what? I find myself hating less stuff when I do that. So
if you go in hoping to, like I went and saw Doctor Strange
mm-hmm.
and it was, It was great, I thought, but I go into most superhero movies going, oh, I'm probably going to like this.
Yeah.
And, so.
Yeah, I don't go in there waiting to hate stuff, man. They're like, it's like, what, why are you guys wasting this amount of time in your existence?
But yeah, it's like, time and money that I could just not take part in, and it would have been fine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I remember I got, I saw Suicide Squad, which I hadn't read any of the comic books.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the movie.
Okay.
So I thought I wasn't on board with what DC was doing, but now I kind of am.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And the amount of, up until about 2 days ago, the amount of hatred and vitriol that I saw on a post like that.
Right.
That was the most, like, I can't believe this. Everything was horrible. The Joker was horrible. Everything was horrible. I'm like, no, everything wasn't horrible.
Right.
It just wasn't what you wanted.
Right. It wasn't what you wanted, and you didn't like that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Why don't you walk away from that movie?
Yeah.
And it turns out, it's like when you watch a movie that's been made of a book,
uh-huh.
and you like the book so much better.
Mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings.
Matter of fact, it's exactly that, since Suicide Squad was a book.
Yes.
Graphic novel and comic books. I always make peace with the fact that I can always go back. I can always go back and read the book. And it doesn't really matter. I think I bought the Lord of the Rings movies out of guilt, because I like the Lord of the Rings movies if I can forget that I read the books.
Yeah.
Because they're excellent action films,
mm-hmm.
and they're gorgeous, and I've always thought that Peter Jackson got the world right.
Yeah.
But I didn't think he got the hobbits right, which my friend Kevin Flanagan believes exactly the opposite. Huh.
Did you see the feet? How dare you?
Well,
it was great.
Well, yeah, and he's not, I don't think he's grumpy about it. He just, and I was like, well, I genuinely don't have a horse in that race as far as the movies go.
Yeah.
I'm more than willing. I remember being mad when I bought the Indiana Jones trilogy,
mm-hmm.
because you couldn't buy the DVD, the Blu-rays separately. You had to buy them as a package.
Oh.
And I didn't want Temple of Doom. And you know what? Who cares? Don't watch. You now own a DVD that you don't watch. You also own hundreds of other DVDs you don't watch.
I remember seeing that in the theater, and I remember all my friends who saw it before me, like, oh, wait till you see all the bugs. Wait till y'all see the bugs and stuff.
The
and
brains remember, were the thing that got me.
Oh, yeah, that and then the whole trying to pull in some of the hearts.
Oh, the heart thing, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Parts of it were fun, I thought.
Yeah.
The screaming got me. I've always had a hard time when there's a lot of screaming. Like when it's usually the woman character who is screaming the whole time.
Yeah.
Bird on a Wire.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw what's his name from Lethal Weapon? Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
And Goldie Hawn. In a chase movie in Racine, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Racine, Wisconsin does not have a Chinatown. Spoiler alert. There's a Chinatown.
Like, this is a bunch of bullshit. Look at this. We don't have a Chinatown.
There's three Chinese restaurants, and one of them, they all have pudding.
By Mexicans.
They all have pudding. It's, there's something, it's, you know, well, of course, you know, everybody's kitchen has Mexicans.
Yes.
You ever read that Anthony Bourdain book where he was talking about how he loves a Guatemalan or Mexican or South American, mm-hmm. Central American sous chef,
uh-huh.
because they didn't go to CIA.
Right.
They will just do what he wants them to do.
Yep.
They will save their money and they'll open their own damn restaurant and it'll be fine. The white guy from CIA is always wants to put his own twist on it. And you're like, no, just cut him like I told you to cut him.
Oh, dude, I've chased a couple of culinary people out of my restaurants when I was managing.
Like, just fiddle and diddle?
No,
fiddle and diddle or no?
Well, this is the thing, is it like, okay, when people talk about, like, you know, flipping burgers shouldn't be worth 15 bucks an hour. I'm like, have you ever had to deal with 40 tickets coming through in about 5 minutes and trying to get all that food out?
Yeah.
Because if you can do that and not lose your shit, yes, that is absolutely worth 15 bucks.
Yeah, because it is a temper tantrum waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so you still have to get all this stuff out there, right? So there's a lot of these guys, and by the way, not everybody that goes to culinary school.
Not all culinary students, you guys. Hashtag, not all.
Right?
Okay.
But, if you haven't worked in a restaurant before and you just go to a culinary school and then you want to go, okay, I'm going to be a chef. And I'm like, no, okay, cool. That's a great degree. The dish room is that way.
Yeah.
Let's see how you handle
that. Please work your way up.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're going to need clean silverware any minute now.
Exactly. Do you know how you ought to cut? How are you on prep? You know, and so.
My first day job was, in high school was a dishwasher.
Yeah.
And,
which
holy,
that job sucks.
Oh my God. You are soaking wet and you smell like a French fry, even if you don't sell French fries. I don't know how that even happens.
So, yeah, there was this one dude who was like, you know, he was basically critiquing everything on the menu. And I'm not, I'm like, it's, dude, we sell burgers here. I sell overpriced burgers. I charge $4 for a bottle of water. That's what we do here. All
right. If you want something else.
Yeah, exactly. And so he's like, well, you know, we would absolutely not do this. Like, all right, cool. Well, let's see as soon as it starts getting busy. And I'm like, I'm showing him how we want to do the burgers and everything. And
it isn't for everybody.
He's doing that. And then he just starts breaking down. He's like, well, these servers need to stop. They're waiting. They're putting all their orders in at once. And they always just wanted to go out into the restaurant. Like, hey, everybody, could you guys stop being hungry for a second?
Right.
Because my cook can't keep up with the shit. Yeah. So can you guys stop asking for stuff?
Right.
No, they said no way. Either work fast or get the hell out, you know?
It's such a job that isn't for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's, my sister's an amazing cook.
Oh, yeah.
And she got a job, as line cook at this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And she learned within the first 4 to 6 months that it was not a job for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to, it was a hard blow, you know, because you study and you work so hard to learn how to do these things. And you're like, well, I'm really good at it. And you're like, well, you know, your loved ones are going to be psyched because you're going to cook the greatest meals in the world, but you're not going to have a restaurant.
Yeah.
You know,
it's, kind of what we were talking about in the other podcast. Not everything has to be successful.
Disjointed Films on Twitter.
Yes, thank you.
David Germain.
Just because you love to cook doesn't necessarily mean you have to open up a restaurant, have a chain, and have a whole thing across the country. It just means you can enjoy cooking.
Right.
You know?
Take the pleasure from the thing.
Yeah.
Is what we were talking about. And be psyched that you like to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's its own reward.
Yeah. But the end of the story was I had a couple of trips to HR. Apparently I'm not, you know.
Oh, like, right. You can't fire people like that?
No, I didn't. I couldn't because the airport and all the people who work for the company, they had a union, which is super rare in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like I could go and just fire people and stuff. You have to do write them up. But there are, you know, they started calling out more and more, you know, and then eventually they're like, oh, this job isn't for me. And I'm like, yeah, well, you called out on a Sunday, so you're officially dead to me. So,
right.
Like,
so be it.
Which ironically, the one book job that I got that mm-hmm. was on, that was on TV was as a chef.
Oh, as an actor?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. On what show?
It was if you like crappy reality shows, it was called Mystery Diners.
Mystery Diners.
Yeah.
On like the Food Network or something? Or?
Yeah.
Nice.
So one of the reasons why I got so much hate mail from that was...
You got hate mail from it?
Well, I was a bad guy.
Oh, you were the bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
So I got to like get like...
But at least you generated mail.
Yeah. Yeah. Every now and then you're like, you're a piece of crap. You belong in jail and stuff. I'm like, all right. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the show.
I'm glad you enjoyed my acting.
Yeah.
It turns out I am not that human.
Yeah.
Exactly. That is a character that has been written for me.
Exactly. This thing was like, 6 years ago or something?
Yeah.
That's where... Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was ironic. I'm like, I'm not going to be a restaurant manager. I'm going to do what I train to.
I'm going to play restaurant manager.
Yeah, exactly.
I am a restaurant manager in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I don't have no idea how we got on this topic, by the way.
Well, we started with Ghost Rider, which obviously that's a certain level.
I think we started with Gears of Metal, Metal Gear something.
Oh, Gears of War, yes.
Gears of War. You were going to tell me the plot of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So either way, they kill a bunch of stuff.
Playing now? I think that was
the first question. Hello, that's where this started. And then apparently we got off on this whole other...
It's fine. 40 minutes later, let's talk about the next thing. Let's talk about the thing we were going to talk about.
So, yeah. We were talking about... Oh, yes, and also about like video games. And when Western programmers, they started putting way more into story as opposed to just the action and stuff. Like, there's these really touching moments, like in Gears of War, where your best friend Dom, because you're always playing with another person.
Like an AI?
No, it's just best friend. Like, there's Marcus Fenix, who's a really tough guy.
You play one guy, but you're not online, right? It's not a buddy.
No.
It's an AI. It's an artificial.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So you're kind of, there's always, you know, the character, the story's always, it's not like play. Here's a bit of story. It's constantly developing through the game.
Okay.
So, he's looking, in the first game, he's looking for his wife. Your best friend and stuff, it's like a side thing, but you never find her. Then he thinks that he knows where she is. Turns out these evil monsters weren't just killing humans, they also were using them for labor and torturing them.
Sure.
And so when he finally finds his wife, like, oh, this heartbreaking scene, he frees her out of this cage, And, he sees like his wife and when he's imagining like he's holding her and he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm here for you now. And then the character you play, Marcus, was like, Dom, Dom. And then he sees his wife, but he doesn't see how she really is, that her, most of her hair is gone. Her eyes, she's been tortured so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her brain is gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's just kind of, she can't
even Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, man. And
put
just,
a bullet in her.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's Gears of Metal.
It's Gears of War. We got to fire up the chainsaw.
Yeah.
And then it's stuff like that. And then I don't know. Just play it, guys. Just it's probably on the greatest hits. It's not expensive. Just do it. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That scene in Planet of the Apes haunted me from when I was 7 when I saw it.
A geek confession is that I've never seen Planet of the Apes. I've only seen one of the newer movies.
Oh, one of the newer ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which also explains why I didn't hate the Tim Burton movie as much as everybody else did, but I was
right, because you didn't have a horse in that race.
Right.
I think I saw the G.I. Joe movies and I'd never seen the TV show, so I was like, oh, that's
totally
fine.
Not missing anything on that.
And it was, I enjoyed the G.I. Joe movies.
They could have just been playing commercials and having like The Rock playing with toy tanks. It would have been the exact
same thing. There's a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie coming out, and I was like,
still not dead.
What are you guys doing? What are you guys, just a money, just printing money? What's going on?
Pretty much. That's what Disney does now.
They don't really need to with the pirates. They could stick with what the rest of the
team. Yeah, apparently you could put Johnny Depp in anything and you just have him standing there eating an ice cream and eventually everybody will pay
money
for it.
That does sound fascinating. Gilbert Grape. Didn't he eat ice cream in Gilbert Grape? I don't know that he did. I can't remember. Are you reading anything good?
I am not. Most of the stuff that I've been really like putting as far as like gathering information is all through podcasts.
Oh, right.
So, aside from when I'm not listening to the Dork Forest. Or
thank you very much.
Listening to my own voice because I'm that egotistical.
Okay.
Dan Carlin's Hardcore History has been like super amazing.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's, because, I mean, you could pay for some of his episodes, but he always puts a couple up for free. And they're like basically audiobooks. They're like 3 to 4 hours. And
oh, wow.
I used to drive a cab in Phoenix, so a podcast where I didn't veer off the road. The one on World War Blueprint for Armageddon, which is absolutely fascinating, about World War One from, 1914 to 19, I believe. And if anything, I highly recommend it because then you start to sound like you know what you're talking about, guys.
Right, because Hardcore History, it's a lot of history.
Yes.
Have you ever listened to The Dollop?
No.
That's Dave Anthony's podcast where he takes something historical or something very, very specific and then dives into the minutia of it. Mm. And I understand it's great. I sadly do not listen to podcasts. I only have 2 podcasts. I don't listen to any podcasts. I listen to some books on tape sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think what's kind of interesting about it is a new way to put information in your skull, right? Like,
I forgot how much conversation.
Yeah. And I forgot how much I love learning about stuff.
Oh, nice. So
what was so strange is, I remember when I was driving a cab, there was a series he does called Wrath of the Khans about the Mongolian Empire.
Okay.
And so, like, growing up in school, you would think that Adolf Hitler would be the most destructive person in history. And he's practically a Boy Scout compared to Genghis Khan.
Right.
Like, the amount of horrific stuff that they did on horseback, and I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. And so either way, I'm listening to this, and I'm picking up somebody who's going to a doctor's appointment. She was like, I think we're living in the most violent times in human history. I'm like, I actually disagree on that. You see, and because it helped bring perspective and stuff. Like, granted, everything is messed up and everybody's in shock right now.
Yeah.
But I think the more that everybody actually looks back and see these different trends of what's going on in history and like humanity in general, then like, a lot of that starts to make sense.
Yeah. Governments and empires fall and everybody keeps something continues. I mean, there's nothing. There's no way to. Who was it? Was it George Carlin? Yeah, he does that joke about how people, environmentalists, are always saying we're killing the earth, and he's like, you can't kill the earth. Mm-hmm. You can piss the earth off so it kills you.
Yes.
And it was that was the premise. It was a great bit, but it. Yeah, I've absolutely never wanted to live through interesting historical times. I've wanted to live through seriously boring times.
Right.
And and then just read about history.
Oh, yeah. That'll make things much safer.
And then dream about time travel to go visit it like some sort of weird white lady thing where you're like, oh, let's go back in time and look at it and maybe wear a fancy dress and then get out when there's trouble. And but no, we're going to have to rise to the occasion, it turns out.
Yes.
And white lady meat shield coming out.
Yeah.
So... whatever.
Well, one of the things that was really something that came to mind about, I think it was on the first episode of Blueprint for Armageddon, if you guys want to reference, he's talking about the first year of World War, Dan Carlin is talking about the first year of World War I, and it was talking about the propaganda that, that Britain and France is using versus what Germany is using. And he quotes from all different sources of material, and this one happened to be Mein Kampf, right?
Okay.
So, and he said,
Hitler, World War I? Didn't he write it in the 30s?
No, yes, but I mean, this is what he'd go talking about, the propaganda. Hitler's talking about the propaganda of World War I.
Oh, I see.
And he said the mistake where Germany made is that they chose to portray England and, the opposing armies as a bunch of buffoons and as weak.
Right.
And Britain is like, look at the bloodthirsty Huns and they're killing all these kids and all this other stuff, right?
Yeah.
Their propaganda was way more effective. Because once Germany actually got in the battle and stuff, these people, like, they're not buffoons. They're not. These are all
right, killed. Right.
Everybody's
and,
like.
And they were ill-prepared.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
So it reminded me a little bit as far as what the election is, that the narrative and stuff is what every – I think this is one of the reasons why I was so shocked is that why were – they were blind – I think everybody was blindsided because we're all in this bubble, you know? And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. Should we talk about this or no?
You can talk about whatever you want.
Okay.
It's your hour, man.
Thanks.
You do whatever you want to dork out about.
Oh, yeah.
We kept calling him stupid.
Uh-huh.
And he isn't stupid, Donald Trump, a mm-hmm. name that I am okay never saying again.
You okay.
But he's an amazing pitch man, is what
yeah.
he is. And he's good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He has revealed a schism that has been here forever.
Yep.
That now we're going to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And if I can, what I decided this morning was that, because I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Now's not the time to be tired, Jackie.
Yeah.
Because you can't be tired. Now's mm-hmm. not. And throwing money at it didn't help. Donating my hundreds of dollars to the campaign that I did and mm-hmm. the ACLU, but that it doesn't hurt. But mm-hmm. What I need to do is I need to get off my lazy white ass and go volunteer locally
mm-hmm.
at a food bank, at a runaway shelter, at a women's shelter, at something mm-hmm. very local
mm-hmm.
and in a way that will make a difference to the people in front of me. And
oh, yeah.
Solomon Giorgio said the other night, are you familiar with his stand-up?
I am not, unfortunately.
He is a delight. He is a very beautiful black man, as he would call himself. His parents immigrated here from Ethiopia when he was 12.
Okay.
And he's a tall, beautiful gay man mm-hmm. who's black. And so he is a waiter in West Hollywood.
Okay.
He did that joke on Conan. Nah, better, of course. And, but he, there, I saw him, he was like, stop looking at the news. Stop
yeah.
watching cable news. Read your news. Keep it in tiny chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to cable news at all
mm-hmm.
because it's a 24-hour shit show.
Yeah.
And talk to the people around you. Look at the people. Look away from the damn screen.
I think Russell Brand mentioned it. It was a great term, I thought. It was like, I think everybody's addicted to emotional porn. And I think,
and why wouldn't we be?
Yeah. Well, it's the basis form of it, and that's part of what, I mean, obviously,
yeah.
like Law and Order SVU, like, oh, this, you know, this kid's puppy just got molested by a clown, dun dun, and like,
yep.
what? I can't believe, and it's, those things are designed to get you riled up, right?
Yes.
Because it's.
It's just, and we've created all this fear,
mm-hmm.
and nobody's created, like, the next step. They're like, you should vote for Hillary because this is going to be a disaster, a disaster, a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And then the disaster happens
mm-hmm.
and nobody has a plan.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, now that I just completely lost my whole train of thought and stuff. And I think
talk about something happy. Talk about something you like.
Okay. Well, you ever play this game where you kill a bunch of, let's see. I was going to go back to Gears of War. Sorry.
Yeah.
No.
Are you playing Gears of War now?
No.
What are you playing now?
Pretty much, you know what? I spent,
You bought a PS4, for God's sakes.
Yes, and I will say, okay, I'm about to, Switch. Have you seen a new style of games? It's kind of like a point and click where it's just mysteries. There's no combat or anything involved. Like, there was this.
On PS4?
Yeah. There was one I played called Gone Home.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's going to be a creepy game, and it is, because it's like you, story is that you come back from spending 3 months or 6 months in Spain,
mm-hmm.
and your family's moved to a new house, you know, in somewhere in Oregon, and it's kind of the middle of nowhere, but nobody's home. And okay. you kind of have to, like, it's...
So it's like a dollhouse kind of thing?
Yeah, it's like this big, huge, yeah.
But
like,
life-size, obviously, right?
Right. And you try to piece together what was going on, like, where is everybody?
Oh, you know what? I did hear about this game. Brock Wilbur, I think, was telling me about it. Yeah, it sounds spooky as all hell.
Yeah, and then for a while I'm like, there's no monsters coming out of anywhere. All right, just go and then...
And just figure out what
this is.
And
just figure the stuff out, and it was this really beautiful story about...
It's puzzly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, I won't...
Don't ruin it. Don't spoil it. So Gone Home is good?
Once again, you ruined the Dork Forest, Dave. Why did you do this?
No, you're not here to ruin the Dork Forest.
No,
and it's a new one, so don't... Yeah, leave it alone. You can ruin Gears of whatever because it came out in the 12th century.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's one of the ones you've played? Are you playing anything on your phone? Are you playing anything on your...
You know what? I was really into... to Old Republic or the
Knights.
Oh,
that's the Star Wars one.
Yeah,
right?
Star Wars one. And then, you know, like I take breaks from it after a while. I'm like, I should probably go out and do a mic. It's, you know, let's probably get more use of my time rather than sitting at home.
But is it also PS4?
No, I just use our computer on a PC.
A PC game.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. And then I was kind of getting excited for the next expansion. And it was such a heartbreaking freaking like movie that they put out. And I'm like, I don't think I should play this. This seems really, really rough. I don't need this in my life.
Oh, the Rogue One looks great, though.
Oh, yeah. That one, I'm so I'm super psyched about that one.
Yeah, that one looks good. I like Doctor Strange a lot. And then, because I've read some Doctor Strange, because I've always been fascinated with that character.
Mm-hmm.
There was something Mark Waid wrote about 4 years ago that... I read an article, very powerful article, telling me what Doctor Strange to read before I saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't on there, which was weird because it was essentially about how he had lost his powers. Cause that's one of the things you have to do with that. Cause he's so powerful. He's kind of like Superman.
Yeah.
The only way to make it interesting is for him to lose his powers and to get his ego back and then try to figure out his own shit. And so
somebody took his wardrobe, now he's pissed off.
Exactly.
He can't remember
anything. Cape. Yeah. And but what's funny is it was such a good one. It was just about him dating this woman. Mm. And so that was my first, and then my buddy Lee, one of Andy's best friends, gave me the omnibus, the Doctor Strange omnibus from the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Right.
But it was all in black and white, and it was super dense. And I started reading comic books in 2003 or 4.
Okay.
When I met Andy again. I started, because I'd only read them in high school, I think I was mentioning. And,
right.
And then I started again in 2003, 2004. And so I'm used to a certain kind of art.
Okay.
And it's just different from the omnibus of the pack. Did you read comic books ever?
I did. I was, let's see, as an awkward, angry teenager, the X-Men was really, really big because.
In the 90s?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Jim Lee run, Executioner song, that stuff, that's when I really got into it. And then when I moved to New York, I was like, I can't afford comics anymore. So that's when I stopped reading.
That's when you have to, it's such a commitment. And now you can do Comixology, and I think it's only like $100 a year.
Oh, really?
You can get everything. I have a friend of mine who he's broke. He can't even do that. So he just reads, he keeps up on the storylines by reading the summations. It's sort of like following like TV Without Pity and just watching like, oh, what happened on, Walking Dead this week? It was sort of a walkthrough kind of situation. So, are you doing any shows this week?
I am not. I have, I was going to ask one more thing about it.
First.
Did you see, what did you think of the Tick pilot?
I have not seen the Tick pilot.
I really, really liked it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's not super as funny, but it's more kind of true to the comic and stuff, and it's, I don't know.
I like the old comic. I like the old, Ninja Turtle comic too. The initial one, the Eastman Laird.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was just more character driven. I thought it was kind of nice. Is the new Tick kind of character driven?
Yeah, a lot more because it's about like, the villain, the terror, you know, like his whole idea is that
Spoon.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
Well, it's kind of weird because it doesn't quite make sense of whether or not that the Tick is like a that Arthur created him in his imagination or whatnot. He can't. It's,
yeah,
it's,
yeah. Don't let everybody watch it. It's a good one though. Would you recommend that?
Yes.
Okay. And all it just came out.
Yeah, it's been on Amazon Prime. So
fair enough.
It's one of those things, if you really like it, I guess the more we watch it, then like, hey, then...
They'll make another one?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a pilot right now, so definitely check it out.
So there's just one episode on Amazon Prime. Okay.
Yes.
And so you're not working this week? You're not going up?
Not this week, no. I got day job stuff.
Okay, fair enough. What is your day job?
I work at I'm a bartender.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. Well, steady work, man.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it.
I would mention where it is, but in case I don't want to say anything that's going to, you know, like, hey.
Well, if you're in Denver and, you can.
Yeah, look around for it. Just look for this dude with a beard.
Look for David Germain.
Yeah.
You can find him. What's your Twitter?
At Disjointed Films.
At Disjointed Films. And the podcast is called Disjointed.
The Disjointed Podcast.
The Disjointed Podcast. And, it's actually been great. It's a great episode of The Dork Forest, and thank you so much for doing it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for recording it.
Yeah. it's the least I could do, yes.
Yeah, and I will see you probably at the Comedy Works on Sunday, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?